Before we get to night two of the Big Brother 20 premiere, I want to take a moment and tell you about Double Dare on Nickelodeon, because on the all-new Double Dare, the trivia is tough, the challenges are rough, and the giant nose is stuffed, and you can't miss a single sloppy second of it. Host Liza Koshy and Double Dare legend Mark Summers are bringing you the messiest game show on TV. Don't miss the all-new Double Dare weeknights at 8, 7 Central, only on Nickelodeon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who makes more annoying noises routinely than Brett with his raptor voice. I am Rob Cicerino here tonight. Night number two of our Big Brother 20 ongoing celebration all summer long here on Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cicerino. Thanks for joining us here live. Hopefully, we've got everything going on here on the YouTube, on Twitch, Facebook, Periscope, and of course, on Rob Has a Podcast, all to talk about a crazy night with deletion dots, a house divided. The live feeds are coming. Everything is happening. And let's welcome in our great panel joining me again tonight for the second night in a row. And of course, beginning a summer long mission, updating you on everything happening on the live feeds. Welcome back, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. Again, we got some more representation from the robots. I feel like it's now coming out that you have used me in the past to go cry to people to get what you want, because crying robots are just so effective.
But I have to admit, that robot is so sexy.
Yes. There you go. There you go. That's for you, Taryn. Okay. And of course, joining us, this is a huge get for us, the great Brent Wolgamott is here as well. Brent, how are you?
I am here. I have manifested some fabulous energy. I am so psyched to be here. There was more playing in this episode than the entire last half of Big Brother 19. So I'm all about it. And I got also some stuff to say about the podcast last night.
Oh.
In places where I disagree.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to all of that. Brent, you look so dapper tonight.
Thank you. I have a nice shirt. I think I wore a version of this shirt for the staircase when I testified.
And is this a new look? Is this staircase, Brent?
I did my hair, you know. I mean, I'm going places, Rob.
Brent, what do you know about Big Brother?
I know diddly.
Diddly. I take it that means nothing, zero.
Yes. All right. So here we are live. We're going to take your questions. Be sure to either tweet them, hashtag RHAP. We might be able to grab some stuff from the YouTube chat as well. Scott St. Pierre is standing by as we discuss everything here from tonight. And I guess let's get into this, because very interesting that this house is split. This is always one of my favorite things to see in the Big Brother house. Brent, do you feel like it's trending in that direction?
It's trending in that direction, but we have seen this before last season. You know, remember there were three different couples, six people along with Paul and Christmas. It felt like we were moving in that direction, and then it all fell apart. So I am cautiously optimistic. And I will say that the people who are in said alliances appear to be a little bit more hot-headed than some of the people from last season. Not quite acquiescing as much. So I'm psyched to see what transpires.
Taryn, do you think there's much of a chance when the live feeds kick off tonight? Of course, you can get your hands on the Big Brother live feeds through our website, robinswebsite.com/livefeeds, and get 1 week free trial. Not just for Big Brother, all of the great CBS All Access is available. robinswebsite.com/livefeeds, or click the banner on robinswebsite.com. Taryn, when the feeds come up, do you expect these alliances to still be holding, or do you think that the world will radically have changed?
I think the alliances will probably still be mostly holding. If anything, I expect that there's a lot of time. This first week is going to last 2 weeks, and I expect that these two alliances are going to sniff each other out. And I don't know just how long the target will stay on two seemingly inconsequential players.
Yeah. Now, this
probably is taking place, what, Brent, would you mention this past Friday or Saturday? So we're probably, what, 5 or 6 days past where they are at the end of tonight's episode?
Yeah, something like that. I know spoiler online, Vegas for sure, tweeted out, said spoilers about Sam and Steve being nominated around that time. And she was correct. So it appears that so. I do agree with Taryn, by the way, that even though these two people are on the block and it's likely that one of them is going to be evicted, that 2 weeks is a long time. And these players want to play. Like I said, there are a lot of Jones and chomping at the bit wanting to play Big Brother. And they could get bored looking at two people on the block who they're like, well, we don't even care about them. Let's make a big move. I'm waiting to hear the big move phrase from anybody else besides Angie Rockstar.
Brent, did you find one side of the house that you were siding with as somebody who often picks sides in these Big Brother partisan battles?
Yeah, I mean, I probably sided more with the swaggy side of it all, but I'm a big fan of swaggy. I'm not necessarily a big fan of some of the people that are in that alliance. I haven't heard anything from Fessy in two nights of Big Brother and 3 hours of television. Angie Rockstar, she's okay. Caitlin is a ball of energy. Mm-hmm. I love it that she can't keep her mouth shut. That's very funny to me. On the other hand, I do enjoy some of the other people on the other side. Angela, Rachel, even Winston. I really, really like those people too. And I think Tyler probably made the right decision tonight.
Taryn, it's interesting that we have six people on one side. How many people are in the yoga group? Is that five?
The five?
Yes, I think five.
And then Sam and Steve. And then we have a couple of people who are basically the floaters who are not really on any side. Bailey, she's not part of yoga, but I think that she sort of aligned with them through swaggy. Scotty had a quiet night. And then who else?
JC.
Yeah. So he's part of the is he with anybody?
I think it doesn't seem like it. Mm-hmm. He seems like he's kind of on his own.
Minding his own business.
Yeah. Okay. Steve and Sam.
Okay. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, I'm looking at everybody else on the board, and they're all accounted for because Haley's part of the five with the two Crystal chicks and Fessy and Swaggy. So that's everybody.
Yeah. Taryn, did you like where Tyler was at in tonight's episode, becoming the HOH and then getting approached by this group of five, which seemed to have already come together and then sort of jumped on his bandwagon after he won that first HOH?
Yeah, I was definitely when Winston was gathering up the troops, I was like, you should not approach Tyler saying, I've got a group of five that we want you on board. He should have been saying like, OK, so I'm thinking about these people. What do you think? Should we approach these people? Because it's definitely not the greatest thing to be the person who like they need him and they're all coming to him with a previously formed group. That's not a great look, mm-hmm. But it is early enough that I'm not that concerned if I'm Tyler. I'm probably thinking like, that this is fine. This is probably day two in the house or something like that. So I'm not going to be overly concerned that they've made this unbreakable bond that I can't slide myself into.
Yeah, I will push back on that a little bit. I think Steve Moses always wanted to be in an alliance, but at the bottom of an alliance. And if Tyler sees that these people are approaching him with an already set made alliance, he probably figures out that I'm not anybody's number one. But on the other hand, if I pay it forward and keep all of them safe, and try to work with them, that they're going to remember that and at least keep me safe for the first few weeks when I feel the most in danger. So I think he was probably liking it.
Okay, so we had this HOH competition, which was sort of a knockout game for this first HOH. Brent, did you like this type of game as the first HOH because it seemed to foster some hostility?
Yes, and that is the reason why I liked it. It's the old coconut chopping challenge from Survivor where you have to reveal what you think about people. And even if it is just at first blush, I mean, this is probably what, like you said, day two or day three in the Big Brother house. And they have already gelled a little bit with some people and not gelled so well with some others. I thought it was predictable that Sam and Steve both had their buttons pushed insofar as deletion goes.
Deletion dots, Brent. Right. Please use the correct terminology.
Thank you. I did forget that.
If they go home, will they get one as a souvenir like Glenn got his coconut?
I've got Glenn's coconut over here.
Yeah, I was going to say, Glenn got his coconut, exactly. I was shocked to see Tyler put some dots in Bailey's tube. However, in thinking about it, I was like, that's a perfect play, and I hope he you know, we didn't see it necessarily on the episode, but I hope he explained it to her. Look, this had nothing to do with you. I wasn't going after you. I was doing it strategically just so I could win and feel safe because I felt really nervous.
Nope. She was mad, Brent. Yeah. She didn't like it.
I yelled at Tyler for putting balls in my tube during the HOH competition.
Nope. Don't do that, Tyler.
Don't do that. Don't put balls in a tube.
It's very petty. That was so petty. It should not have done that.
Well, that's part of what made the competition so good. Because, and what I liked about it was that it was a combination of this sort of social game and a physical game, where obviously the less physical people had a hard time putting the deletion balls in the tubes. But people immediately teamed up. We had a betrayal at the end of the competition. Bailey was upset. She did not refrain from voicing how upset she was, which was a mistake, obviously, because they had been, I was thinking like, oh, that's a great way to do it if you team up with somebody, because then even if they beat you at the end, you just helped them win and you already have this sort of feeling of camaraderie. But that got shattered when she yelled at him.
Mm-hmm. So we saw if Sam was the first person who ended up getting knocked out of the competition. A rough night for Sam. I think a good night for her edit-wise, but there was a lot for her to handle. Brent, we didn't get to talk to you last night. How are you feeling about Sam and Sam the robot?
I feel really bad for Sam as a robot. I agree with Taryn that it is a completely uneven twist insofar as what Casey got and what Sam got. And I guess they had that all planned out at the beginning. But I mean, if I was Sam, I'd be really, really ticked off about the way things worked out, considering the other person just basically has to walk around, look like a clown with a wheel on her neck. Other than that, I was a little bit over her as I tweeted. I felt like the crying was a little bit heavy handed. I can only handle so much. Oh, I don't. Nobody likes
well, me. Brent, it's too early to get sick of her.
Well, I'm not sick of her, but I was sick of that. That specifically. I like the fun Sam who was talking about the LGBT community. I think she just wanted to say gay twice because that's how gay JC really is.
I think she had a D in there.
No, it was a G, I thought. I don't know. If it's a D, I don't know. What, disexual? That's what I want Taryn to do. Die.
And he already made it known that he's part of the LGBT community, so I guess I'm just going to have to sit this one out.
LGBT.
Yeah, I'm on Team G.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... she was very upset about that. She, you know, got to be the robot. Taryn, did you feel like that she was putting on the waterworks for Tyler in the storage room? Or do you think that she is that she's being genuine?
I think it was genuine. I mean, we often see people have a tough time emotionally in the first couple of weeks. And to not only, you know, have that tough time happen to you, but also be in a situation where you're kind of an outcast and you can barely even communicate with these people. And it's starting to look like maybe you might be one of the first people to go home. I can definitely see why this would have been genuine.
Yeah, but Taryn, isn't it really incumbent upon her to move her butt when she is in human form and get up there and talk to the HOH? I mean, it looked like she had a fair amount of time in between when the competition ended and when she was ultimately turned back into a robot. So I really feel like she just was caught sleeping on the job insofar as, I mean, I'll just say this. If I was the robot and I knew my game was hindered in the house and there was a new HOH who maybe I didn't really know all that well, I'd be talking to them in the first 20 minutes. I'd make it happen because I don't know when I'm going to be able to have a real conversation with them in the future.
I mean, I don't think we know, like, she may have talked to him and then needed another conversation later because he was like, let me get back to you because you're my pawn. You have to imagine that the producers wanted that conversation to happen when she's a robot. So I don't know how much time they would have given her to speak to him in human form. I don't know if I want to go full on like, oh, well, you should have done something else because we didn't see all of it.
Yeah, everybody's loving the robot. We got to see pictures of the robot with the emojis out in the backyard. We also got to see the robot's picture come up on the memory wall during the nomination ceremony, which was hilarious. I felt like that Tyler was trying to send her a message that I don't think that she was picking up. And that message was, you are going on the block, but you are not going home. Trust me, you're not the target. And I think that she took that to infer like, oh, Tyler really likes me. And then that's not what it meant. It just meant that, no, Steve is going home.
Yeah. And I agree with you that she did not pick up on that. And Taryn, I was a little bit bummed at the end when she was like, I thought Tyler liked me. And I guess I was wrong about that. Like, I can't stand that kind of woe is me attitude. I mean, I know it's been, she's got a tough break, but you're playing the most fun game in the world. Just try to lighten up a little bit, lady. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Taryn, did you like what Tyler said to her to make her feel better when they were in the storage room?
Everyone knows you're real, like you're a genuine, beautiful, just perfect human.
I thought it was so you're a genuine, perfect human.
Such discrimination.
Yeah.
She's a perfectly beautiful, strong robot, and the only way to compliment her is to call her more human-like. It's disgusting,
Rob. I have to tell you that I am so bummed that this twist is going to end, because every time you say robot, I instantly think of Taryn. Mm-hmm. About, so the robot did this, and it's just, I'm sure everybody in the chat right now is with me on that.
Yeah. Lost in the Shuffle is Steve going up on the block. He did not get a lot of airtime, Brent.
None whatsoever. Like, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way he won anything because he hasn't even been on the show. I'm really, really kind of stunned that they didn't use him more, because they have to feel like there's a good chance he's probably going home. And if I was Steve, I'd be kind of pissed, because your visibility is like zero.
Did you guys not see the worst Big Brother challenge performance of all time?
Well, yeah. He did call it that. But on the other hand, at the end, he was like, well, go ahead and put me up. That's fine. I'm going to make some deals. I got deals going.
Oh,
I'm
yeah. Like, yeah. You want to hear? This is Steve after the nomination.
I need to have that.
Yeah.
Put me on the block. That's great. I'll make my deals. I'll get off this block. One way or another, I'm not going home. So do what you want to do, but there's blood in the water.
Blood in the water? Oh, my God. At the bath? No, Steve, get out of the bath. Get out. Get out. Steve, you're bleeding.
He sounds like a cop. Oh, my gosh.
There's blood on your hands. There's blood in the water. There's always blood somewhere.
What you didn't know about my baths is that they're ice baths, because I sweat heavily.
By the way, I was so with Melissa last night on the podcast when she talked about the fact that whoever did that segment and put Steve in the damn bathtub and then did a close up of the bubbles when they panned down, like, that person should be fired. Like, who are you and how do you have a job?
Summer of Steve.
Yes, that was another part of the episode. He said that he told his job that he would be gone all summer, and that's because it's Summer of Steve 2018.
Summer of Steve 2018.
Well, look, he's got the time off no matter what. Taryn, I thought it was interesting that so he's not telling people that he's the professor, but he is wearing the SUNY, I forget which school he teaches at. He's wearing the sweatshirt. And then he also, I'm not Derek. I'm not an undercover cop. That he's got the Derek undercover cop beanie look going on too.
Oh,
Taryn.
Yeah. Oh,
yes,
God.
He's got the beanie. I mean, it's he's going for the Vanessa
just fitting
Derek
in
role.
With the young kids in the house.
Blending right in there, Steve, right, Taryn?
Yes, it's he looks 10 years younger. You might say 8 years younger. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the pushing Tyler to go for nominations. Obviously, we saw that the Tyler's Alliance, they wanted Sam and Steve to go up, but the meditation group, the hippie commune, they had a different. They wanted Tyler to make a big move and to go after Winston and Angela. Do you feel like that? That had any chance of working, Brent?
No, I do not. First of all, I think Tyler had already given his word to the Alliance that he was going to work with. And if he's going to go back on it, he's going to have a bunch of people mad at him where he can honestly just put these two people up and it's not going to bother anybody. I will say Caitlin is my favorite kind of Big Brother player. She reminds me a little bit of myself because she's really impulsive. Like, she already did that thing where she yelled at Tyler Swaggy not saving her team, and then tonight she's
and
like,
and then he heard what? Them, and then he heard them.
Right? I know.
He was walking them. By, and he heard them, and he's like, come on, that you know Swaggy C is going to be sneaking around the house.
Right? I'm like, I didn't think the walls were that thin. But anyway, so she does that, and then she goes up and basically tries to pull the, I don't know what the phrase is. She's trying to force the HOH to do something that really is probably against his best interest, into, you know, forcing him to be the mouthpiece for what they want to have happen, which is to go after two strong players. I mean, that is a strong move, putting Winston and Angela on the block during week one. You know, one of them is going to stay in the house. And then if you do that for these people, they are going to be safe and you're going to be the one in hot water. So I thought he made not only the correct move, but I thought that the team of Swaggy and company did not handle it very well. I think it might have been more effective one-on-one, where she appeals to him and says, you know, hey, maybe if you want to make this move, it might be better for you. And here's why. I felt like in a group of people, Taryn, I just didn't like how it came off.
Yeah, I mean, the Winston group approached it a lot better, which is that, you know, this HOH is not going to do anything for you unless he feels like you're on his team or he's on your team.
Right.
And to go up to him and be like, yeah, so I was thinking, and there were a couple other people that were thinking, and also Swaggy's going to come in here, and he was also thinking this, but maybe you should do this, and we're not going to give you anything, we're not going to promise you anything, we're just going to tell you what our idea about what you should do is. The correct way to go about it was Winston going up there and being like, hey, so let's make something happen, let's get together, and then just let Tyler do whatever he wants. And again, there's 2 weeks for them to be like, all right, well, maybe we should shift the target if there's a threatening group on the other side.
Yeah, well, yeah. Tyler saw right through what Swaggy was up to, that he figured this plan out.
Swaggy sent his minions into this HOH room to try to drive home his ideas with me.
Hey, better Swaggy sends in his minions than JC, right?
I know, right? Minions. Of course, it only took 2 episodes. And remember, all of this comes from the perceived slight that Caitlin felt over being targeted in the HOH competition. I mean, no offense, but they had to put their dots in somebody's tube. They already had Sam and Steve out. Sorry, it's just that's the way things go. I thought she took that a little bit too much to heart. She wears her heart on her sleeve so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it looks as though, and then, you know, it was not great because Tyler, I think, is going to go back, certainly, you would imagine, Taryn, and then tell Winston and Angela, hey, just so you know, the other side of the house is trying to get you up on the block this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, again, it's a situation, it's another reason why you don't want to just go up to somebody and be like, hey, this is what I think you should do. You need to have an existing relationship with them to know that either this is going to work or maybe they have other relationships that they might reveal what I just said to them. So they're going to probably learn a lesson this week.
And then you have to have a little bit of self-perception as well. I mean, Caitlin has to realize that that is a swing for the fences kind of move for Tyler to put up Angela and Winston. And maybe they've all been chomping at the bit. You know, they saw last season and how a lot of people didn't play last season. So they're like, you know, we don't want to make that same mistake, sort of like Hamza did on Big Brother Canada 6. But it was just, it was a shot in the dark, and I never really thought it had a chance of working.
Okay. Taryn, do you feel like the show has set up Sam well to be the recipient of the App Store reward on Sunday night?
I think so, but I think the voting was closed before this episode started, right?
That's the problem, because I tweeted the same damn thing and people were like, Brent, the voting's already closed. So I actually think that JC has more of a shot than Sam currently, because he was really visible in the episode last night. On the other hand, it could be somebody like Swaggy who got a lot of airtime. I mean, you just don't know. I thought last night, for the most part, with maybe like 8 people, was pretty even as far as the airtime goes. If it had been tonight, I guarantee you Sam would have won. But now I'm unsure about that.
Okay. Brent, you said that there were some things from last night that you want to correct the record on. Some things from the premiere?
Listening to Melissa on this podcast, it was like the sky is falling insofar as this twist goes, when she was like, you know, I told you this is the problem, because people are going to be trending for the wrong reasons. You know, just because you don't like somebody, they're going to be trending, which is going to give them something good. I don't think the producers are that stupid where they're going to have people who the audience knowingly dislikes and give them something positive. I just don't think that's going to happen. I will say this. that the whole thing is really done terrible. As far as the
How dare you, Brent?
The contest, and I mean
so negative.
The voting, and like I was trying to vote and it wouldn't even accept my vote because I didn't type in the name the right way. I mean, I don't even know how many votes they're going to get. I don't know why they just didn't have it on a website and let us click like the old days. But I guess they're trying to go more platforms and more people. But I mean, Taryn, did you try to vote? I mean, it was really terrible. Well, you should. Because it's really hard to do. I'm sure the chat.
Then you don't get to complain if you didn't vote, Taryn.
I know. Right?
I boycott all voting twists. I don't want to take part. But even if I wanted to, there's no way I'm going to get on Facebook and message a bot about like voting. Like Brent's right in that sense, because I want to like look at a picture and just click on somebody. Like that's all I want
to
do.
Yeah, what I was really trying to say was that I really don't like I said with Melissa, like it was like the sky is falling. This is going to end up terribly. I'm like, no, please. Allison Grodder, they're going to rig it just like the old days. Sam's going to get the power and we're going to be great.
Allegedly.
I mean,
just a little joke.
Just a joke.
What Melissa's saying is true though. Like people can get trending if you hate them. Yeah. Like if somebody is all of a sudden like super controversial on the show, and the voting works the way that they want it to, with a lot of casual viewers voting and answering the questions honestly, then I could very well see a very controversial figure.
See, I didn't take it that way. I know you guys think that, and I know in real life you can trend for negative reasons. But I didn't take it that way. I thought that it was pretty self-evident which of the questions were positive and which ones of them were negative.
Well, clearly you did not finish the podcast, Brent, because we did explain the rule.
I know the questions. Are you talking about the one at the end? Or which one you're screaming?
We explained the rules, which say the person who gets mentioned the most gets the reward, and who gets mentioned the least
per question. So maybe I thought the positive questions and the negative questions.
And Brent, you said that you don't think that they will give any powers to people that the audience hates. I don't think that Big Brother cares if you vote for people that you hate or vote for people that you love. I think that that really what they want to try to do is watch somebody who's like a complete nobody. Like if a Jen City is in the house and she gets a punishment, watch the punishment be super severe and something that really leads to her being a person who ends up going out of the game sooner, as opposed to the big characters. I think they want to knock out some of the float with this type of punishment for people that aren't trending.
And yeah, I think this is a better way to do it than like vote for your favorites, vote for your least favorites, because at the very least, I think it does incentivize the players better than the other kinds of twists do, because what they're going to find out, and I'm sure what Julie is going to tell them, is that, okay, here's the twist. It's based on who's trending the most. And if you are not mentioned, then you're going to be punished, which is going to encourage people who are kind of sitting back and playing a more low key game to be like, oh, wow, I need to be more entertaining. I need to do something to get
into some pranks.
Yeah,
better get in the garbage can.
And that's the downside, obviously. But the regular twists get that happening all the time anyway. So
yeah, I mean, I hear you, and I think that that's a fair point. On the other hand, I don't think you can really change who you are. I mean, if you're a generally introverted kind of person, you're not going to change to a really extroverted person. You know, you might be able to do it for an hour or 2 hours, but I don't think it's really going to go beyond that.
I don't think it can change your personality, but I do think it can influence you when it comes to like, where's my vote going to go? What kind of HOH am I going to be? Am I going to make the bolder move to make sure that I'm not one of the least mentioned people so I don't get punished?
Right.
Or am I going to play the safe move?
Well,
and I do think that in those kinds of circumstances, we probably will see more hinky votes, more people kind of being like, maybe I should do a little bit of something so I don't get punished.
Well, I mean, if that's the way, if that is the case, then I think it's probably just a symptom of last season, where there's so many people who were doing absolutely nothing, who weren't being talked about. I mean, you basically have like two people for, you know, when they're down to like nine people, maybe two, maybe three people with Alex, possibly along with Paul and Josh, being talked about as far as trying to advance their game. Everybody else was just floating along. If that is the purpose of this twist, then I am all for it, and the sky is not falling.
Yeah,
I do think it is, because I saw a lot of interviews, or at least one interview, sorry, that said that they were thinking about that heading into this season. That was one of the questions that they asked a lot of the potential cast members, was like, they wanted people that were not going to go along with what one person would say. They wanted more power shifts. So I do think that they're doing a lot to try to prevent something like Big Brother 19 from happening again.
Okay,
Taryn. No, it seems like they are making it where if you get the power or the punishment once, then you are taken out of consideration for that. I don't mind that so much with the power, but should they make it if you got a punishment once, you can't, if the punishment is nobody's talking about you, shouldn't you be able to get that 5 times in a row?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that's insanely cruel to, you know,
Karen.
Like, it's just... It's very unfair to Fessy to do that to him.
So you think Fessy is going to be the guy?
I don't think it would be fair to Fessy if we did that.
We want good effing TV. That's right.
But also then, like, people would just be like, okay, Fessy's going to eat up all the punishments. We don't need to do anything to change ourselves. Mm. We need people to be paranoid.
Okay. I don't think that the players will be so calculated to say, oh, I better, you know, start making game moves so I don't get the punishment. I just think that is probably just a little too, you know, three-dimensional or four-dimensional thinking for the players inside the game to realize that.
Oh, I agree. I think that these kinds of twists backfire all the time. But I think that this was the intention. At least it's different than the other thing that we know doesn't work. So... we'll see.
Okay. I also want to touch on, we got to see a little bit of life inside the house tonight. We saw the guided meditation led by Caitlin in the house, which really, I thought Swaggy had some good insight into, hey, I'm going to hang out with these people, not because I want to meditate, but if I hang out with these people, then that'll turn into making an alliance. But kudos to the editors who are having a lot of fun with Caitlin. And then we got to see what goes on the other side of the house, Brent, and we got to see Winston and Brett. They hang out they do bro stuff all day, which somehow includes acting out dinosaur noises for Brett. I apologize to anybody listening to that. What is that?
Yeah, you need a warning next time. I just saw Jurassic World. They do not act like that at all. And I know that's based on real life, so I have no idea what's going on there.
Taryn, I didn't get it that Rachel was like, I'm living my best life in the Big Brother house. I'm hanging out with Brett and Winston, and they are douchey guys who make dinosaur noises. Like, life is awesome. What?
I thought I was waiting for the other shoe to drop when she was talking, like, and they're idiots.
Not, yeah.
Seems like really into them.
Well, she'd been trying to get on the show for a little while, so I think that just like she's excited to let people know that, like, oh, I love it here. Like, this is what I wanted. This is exactly what I was hoping for, is dinosaurs. Dinosaurs.
I know, right? By the way, Stina Nitz, one of my favorite Twitter people, points out that Brett is he is the broiest bro I think has ever been on the show. Like, I mean, maybe even higher than like Jace and Austin.
He's owning it. He's owning it. Yeah.
Gosh, he does own it, man. Like, it's like it's an act almost. Like, I don't think anybody really acts like that in real life. On the other hand, look at him.
Right. So. When Jason Scott were wearing mandanas around the house, and it was like, I think that they were on the forefront of bro culture. And now it's sort of walked back. And I don't know if Brett is here to say we're bringing it back.
He needs like a frisbee and a football and you know, some Heinekens, or I don't know what, the Bud Lights, so I don't know.
And a couple of times he referred to Winston like openly in front of people as in, you know, bro. Yeah. You know, like, I'm like, that, you know, that can really rub people the wrong way. On the other hand, you know, he is easy on the eyes, more easy than some of the other people in the house. So if, you know, Tyler's HOH, I think he's fine for now, but I can see him rubbing people the wrong way. I think Winston is a little bit more subtle. I am a fan of Winston, by the way. I know a lot of people were after last night, but I am a fan of him, and I think that he handled tonight pretty well.
Okay.
I think we need a counter on how many times Brett says bro versus Swaggy saying swaggy and Caitlin saying namaste.
Namaste. Yeah.
I want to get to your questions in just a moment. But Taryn, for anybody who was counting the number of Swaggy C shirts in the house, that counter is also broken after tonight's episode.
Yes. Are we above five?
It has exploded. Already? I think that there were five before the first commercial break of five pieces of Swaggy C memorabilia.
There you go.
Yes.
I think that counts as another draft win, something like that.
Draft win. Brett, what will be the retail price of a Swaggy C t-shirt on September 28th?
I mean, if he makes a jury,
this
probably
Price is Right came for you.
I know, right? I'm going
it's
at least
a Swaggy C t-shirt. Swaggy C in Old English font. Brent, we'll start the bidding with you.
I will be at $400, Bob.
$400.
You've all overbid.
Too high. Well,
yeah, not one that he wore in the house.
So you're talking about like if they sell them,
right?
Obviously like $20-$30, whatever. I thought he was going to sell some of his memorabilia from inside the game. Yeah. I thought that might go for something.
Okay, Taryn, let's go a step further. Will Swaggy C be on the jury?
No,
it's not trending in that direction right now.
Yeah,
I need my crystal ball. I think future is not looking good. My sources say no, Rob.
very, very snaggy.
But I would be bummed if he did not make jury. I'm still rooting for him to win. He's playing really hard. Hopefully the feeds come on. He's gotten all that nervous energy out. He's sort of like laying back and being chill. And other people have other fish to fry. That's his best case scenario for when the feeds come on tonight.
Okay, let's get into taking some questions from you guys here tonight. Let's start with Megan Adams, who says, now that you've seen the premiere, name one player on your team you'd like to swap, and who would you swap for? I don't know if... can you do this? Can you guys...
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
All right, we drafted on Monday night. Taryn, who's one person that you would like to get rid of?
Well, I could never get rid of Summer of Steve 2018, but I'd have to. Switch him in for Tyler. I'm really liking Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, right? I, on the other hand, I would probably get rid of Bailey. I love her. She's totally extra in the house, but probably a little bit too extra. And I think she's got a little bit of a temper and she doesn't know when to keep her mouth shut, much like Caitlin. And I would probably swap her out with probably Rockstar at this point. I think she's pretty chill and she's blended in more with the house than I thought she was probably capable of. So I would probably get rid of Bailey for Rockstar.
Okay. I'll take out Caitlin. I don't think she's been a total disaster so far to this point. But I don't know. I'll say Haley. Taryn, which group is she in? Is she in the middle?
She's in the
five.
Yeah, she's with the hippies.
Okay. Yeah. All right. John Densford says, has there ever been a more random alliance in Big Brother history than Namaste Caitlin, Rockstar, Swaggy C, and Fessy?
Is Fessy with them?
I mean, yeah, he was tight with Swaggy. I don't know if he was in the yoga group.
Right. I forgot which side Fessy fell on. I thought maybe he was with the bros.
Yes.
No, he's
Fessy,
with Swaggy.
Haley, Rockstar, and Caitlin.
Yeah, there's two boys and three girls in the five, or what? I guess they don't have a name, but that's them.
Okay. Will said, who is hashtag Team Angela, Team Winston. How often is the safe move a good move for the first HOH? Did Tyler do the right thing in nominating the first two to lose the comp? Or should he have gone after comp beast right away if that's what the house wants? Taryn, do you have any issue with what Tyler did on this HOH?
None whatsoever. The first move should always be a safe move. Making a bold move in the first week is pointless because there's no real bold move to make. Mm-hmm. Nothing, none of the dynamics that are set up right now are going to be 100% in place in even just a couple of weeks. So it's completely pointless to make a huge display of a big bold move because it's not even going to be benefiting you later on. So you should absolutely play it safe and just reap the rewards of being the person who's in power for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I also agree with that because I cannot remember an HOH who tried to make a big move who was even successful. I mean, the girl on Big Brother, was it 3 or 4? It must have been 4, who tried to make a big move the first week. And
Big Brother Canada 4?
Yeah, Big Brother Canada 4. Yeah. Huh?
Levita?
Yeah, Levita. Yes, thank you. Yeah, Levita tries to make a big move. And, you know, it instantly backfires on her. And she's, you know, on her heels the rest of the time. So I really agree with Taryn that it's always the best play to make the quote-unquote safe move. I actually think this is a good move for Tyler. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to get rid of any of the comp beasts in the house because he's a beast himself. He doesn't want to, you know, be the next person in line to be evicted if they decide to go after some of the more capable physical players in the house. So there's no reason to go after Winston or Angela here.
Yeah. Everybody that's done a great job with the first HOH, they've used that first week to build consensus, make bonds with everybody in the house. I mean, go back to last season where Cody tried to make a big move in the first week and felt like he had the numbers. Then ultimately it blew up in his face and he was out the door, in the second week? So it ultimately is not such a hot idea to start off this marathon with getting off with half the people in the house not liking you out of the gate. Melissa Bott says, is Sam being the robot the best thing that could happen to Sam? It's almost as good as the BB-8 Jamaica punishment. Taryn, okay, it doesn't feel like it right now, but long term, will this be a good thing for Sam?
Long term, no. I feel like long term, it's more harmful than it is good because she's missing out on a lot of this initial bonding time. Short term, it did seem like it gave her some sympathy points with Tyler. Granted, she's still up on the block, but I really don't think it changed all that much in terms of the sympathy that she's gotten. I don't think that
even though Grant's out on her.
Yeah, well, unless she gets the power, the App Store power this week because of the robot thing, I really don't think there was a lot that she gained from it this week. And I think that it ultimately, again, in the long run, hurts her.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, that Tyler's move was essentially made for him unless he was ever thinking about nominating Bailey. So he was going to have to nominate Sam and Steve. So it really was going to work out this way no matter what, whether she was a computer or a robot or not. And I mean, I think that it probably looks a little bit unfair to us on the outside, but I don't think it really changed the big picture for her. I think that and I would also kind of disagree with the fact that Jamaica's five weeks of no HOH was actually a good thing for her in the long run. So I don't even take the premise of the question to be true.
Okay. This is a question from Corey. Is it worse to go out on night one like Cameron or to play your game as a robot and miss on crucial bonding with the rest of the house week one? Right, it's definitely worse to be a robot for the first week, right?
I mean, you're still than to lose the game.
I mean, that's fine, but when you're a robot for the first week, nothing's worse than that, right?
More discrimination, more. This is just the worst. You guys are terrible.
I have to admit that robot is so sexy.
Yes,
nothing is worse than what happened to Cameron.
Yeah, okay. You have to play that more. I have to hear that. That robot is so sexy.
Okay,
Taryn,
this is
soundboard, Taryn.
Jerry Lynn said, should the punishments, particularly Sam's, been ineligible for nominations? They seem grossly unfair. Whoever said this game was fair?
Yeah, this game is not fair, Taryn. And even if they had made her ineligible, then all of a sudden now there are only 6 people that Tyler can choose from. I mean, he was already blocked off from nominating half the house in the first place. And then once he made an alliance, I mean, his nominations were basically made for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Johnny DeSilvera, do you think that Sam is going to be able to help Taryn Armstrong finally be accepted by the masses from coast to coast? First off, I believe Taryn Armstrong is accepted internationally. And do you need any help from Robot Sam, Taryn?
I mean, I'm accepted, but that's only because I put on this human suit all the time and I act very human. I do my best to act as human as possible to fit in.
Yeah, so you're actually a robot sitting in the HOH room controlling this human host.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, someday, hopefully, I'll be able to come on this podcast in my true form. And that will truly be the day that I reach full acceptance. But until this day, we're just going to have to put up with people, you know, discriminating against robots.
Yeah. You know what else we're going to have to put up with is people asking questions about freaking Sam and the robot. Can we have a different question, please? Like I said, there's no way she's not going to get a power because that's all anybody's talking about. Well, poor Sam.
Now we can't.
It's just time to switch on Terminator mode and get out there and kick some butt. Take me to your HOH.
What is that? Is she an alien too?
Look, I like her. I don't want to overstate what I'm misstate what I'm trying to say. I just she got to me a little bit with the whining.
Okay. All right. Andrew says, is Steve aware that blood in the water is his own? Is like Kalia, was he shaving in the tub, Taryn?
No, he's the shark.
He's the shark?
Yeah. Let's not get any ideas about pictures of Steve. It's not that kind of summer of Steve.
Careful, Steve. Careful. Okay. Edward says, does Swaggy C need to turn his swag down, Brent?
No, for us, but yes, for the house. I like him being swaggy in the diary room. He's very fun. Steve, I like how he talks to himself or talks to us when he's in a random room by himself. He needs to watch that. I mean, you never know when there's somebody sleeping or in a corner that you don't know. But he's very, very fun, and I really enjoy him on the show.
What I need to see is some camera footage of Swaggy C babysitting those kids where he's like, those kids, oh man, they're trying to get fruit snacks and Swaggy C killed them. No, don't they know who they're messing with?
I'm going to destroy them at that pool basketball. It won't be close. I am too swaggy for them. I'm the greatest.
Yeah, Tyler had a good point also about Swaggy C. He's like, I know what he's trying to do. He's got too much swag. I mean, his name is Swaggy C.
Yeah, I didn't like hearing Tyler say that, you know, Swaggy won a couple of comps and he's acting, you know, walking around like he runs the place. That did not fill me with confidence. So I'm hoping that Swaggy can turn it around.
He's got too much swag so far. Okay. Yeah. Airline says, oh no, what happens to Steve when he puts sunglasses on? Yeah, it's like a CSI Miami.
Is that? I didn't get the joke. Like, what's the punchline? With you now.
Yeah, those are his. That's when he goes into cop mode. That's he gets the sunglasses on, grabs a donut. He's in cop mode.
That's teacher mode to you.
It sounds like you're doing the chief from The Simpsons when you do that voice.
Yeah. Another police officer.
What I can't wait for on these live feeds is seeing Steve in shark mode, which is when he's in the tub.
Yeah. Okay. Adam Douglas says, still no opening sequence with all the house guests. Just a quick title card animation. Holding off because there are players in it that we still haven't seen yet? No, I don't think that's the case. Taryn, do you think it's more likely that we are just like Survivor, where instead of the full intro with everybody, we're just going to get like the...
Well, we've got like a ton of stuff that we can cover in these episodes. Normally, I think that they're happy to have a good 30 seconds of airtime to fill. I feel like maybe they're like, we don't need to put that in yet. We'll get that once people are familiar.
We got all summer.
Yeah.
Brent, you think we'll see it?
Yeah, I think we'll see it. I mean, they've done it for 19 seasons. I feel like, I mean, there was a time right around like, you know, 10 and 11 when Survivor stopped doing it that they could have stopped as well if they wanted to gain a little bit of extra ad time, but they haven't. So yeah. I'm hopeful that they'll continue to do it. They may not do it every time, but I think they'll definitely do it by the eviction on next Thursday.
What do you think Steve's intro motion will be, Taryn? Do you think he'll mind like
no.
covering his mouth secret? Does
I think secret, he'll do like secret. An arms crossed kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
I can see that.
Okay. Cheryl wants to know, did Tyler do Bailey dirty during the HOH comp, or was he simply playing the comp strategically? Taryn, do you think that that was too much to go after Bailey the way he did for that first competition?
It's more than I would have done. I would have finished JC off and then trusted my trusted myself to hopefully be able to be faster than Bailey and make it, like, because I don't want to come off as dishonest in any way at the start of the game. And since we had been working together, I would not have done it myself. I don't like the move.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard move.
Yeah, but it, you know, probably won't have that much of an impact. But I mean, if it did seem, to damage his relationship with her, and that could end up biting him in the butt later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of understood it strategically, and I think it probably was the correct move on paper. In practice, though, I don't know that it worked out that well. And also, I think he probably the first time didn't really like pay attention to when he was putting it in. The second time he did, when she was going back down the beam, you know, when she had her back to him, he put it in the tube then. But the first time he didn't. And I think if he would have been a little bit more sly about it and not did, you know, didn't do it right in front of her the first time, he might have gotten away with it.
Okay. Jordan says, doesn't Tyler have the same opportunity to use Sam like Derek used the great Victoria? Brent, does that hold water for you?
No. I think Victoria was a special type of player, and she was also a lot younger than Sam. I think Sam, you know, once she gets out of this week, if she gets out of this week, she's going to want to spread her wings and play the game a little bit more. And I don't think she's going to be told what to do. Like she talked about all throughout tonight, you know, she's usually had to be somebody who stood on her own in life. So I don't think she's going to take orders from anybody like Victoria did from Derek.
Yeah, let me ask you, so hypothetically, let's say that these groups do end up holding and we get to the veto competition and by some miracle, Steve or Sam wins the power of veto, which might end up having Tyler putting Bailey up on the block. Do you think that the group of six, Taryn, would make the aggressive move to take out a number from the other side if the house is divided this early?
Well, is Bailey even really on that side? I mean, she's certainly friendly with Swaggy, but she's not really included in that alliance, is she?
Yeah, I thought it was so stupid because Tyler was saying, well, I can tell that you're in with Swaggy, but Bailey was arguing for Sam and Steve to go on the block, and the Swaggy group was arguing the opposite. So I'm like, if I'm Tyler, she's not necessarily working with them. She might be relatively close with Swaggy specifically, but not with that entire group. So I didn't get that from him. And anyway, that's okay. It.
But I think absolutely they would use the sort of plausible deniability of, well, it's not like she's in any alliances. Like they know with her connections, I absolutely think that they would prefer to take Bailey out over Sam or Steve. And also I think Caitlin could be in a spot where she's in danger here because she is included in that group. And she was one of the people promoting the idea of going after Winston and Angela. And so if she's the replacement, I could also see her going home.
Yeah, that's the person I was going to bring up. Rob was Caitlin. She's got a mouth on her and she's always talking and always thinking. I don't think she's going to be able to turn it down a little bit for this week. I can see the feeds coming on tonight and it'll be like, you know, Caitlin, you in danger, girl. Because it might be.
Yeah. But I know you're not a Scotty fan. Do you like that he is not in one of these two groups off the bat? Is that a good spot for him?
Yeah. I suppose. I mean, I don't love it. I'd rather he be at the bottom of an alliance. But he seems to be pretty cool with everybody from what I've seen. He was barely in the episode tonight.
Could be a problem for the App Store.
Yeah, that's very true. He could get one of the punishments. I always like these kind of punishments.
He fell out of the chair, though.
I know, he did fall out of a chair. There's that. I like the punishments, too, because it forces people to confront the fact that America might hate them. And that's always fun to watch.
Yeah, that is fun. That is fun. Yeah, we love that.
Oh, it's
Here's another problem, though, with the voting system. Don't you have to type their names in? I feel like this is an even further significant disadvantage for Fessy, because not only was he not on the episodes, but spell like, not only can they not spell, they don't even know which name to put in. And like, I don't even know how to spell Fessy because I've never seen that written out before. I only know how to spell his actual name.
Do you think it's F-E-S-S-I-E or F-E-S-S-Y?
I've seen it both ways. And Rob, I'm not looking forward to having to decide tonight when I'm talking about the feeds on Twitter.
Put out a poll. Put out a poll to see how we should spell it.
Good call.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep quiet then. I don't want to influence the poll.
Drake wants to know, what color are your auras? Brent, we talked with Taryn and Melissa last night about aura color. Do you know what color your aura is?
I would have to assume that I'm probably pretty red. I don't think there's any other way.
That's the bad one.
Yeah, that's probably me.
It's the worst aura.
I can be a little bit extra sometimes too, so I'm pretty sure I'm red, and I wear it proudly, you know.
Yes. Lacey is asking on Facebook, do we know how they picked who got which punishment? I would think that they went by who was the bigger personality, Taryn. Do you think there's anything to that, or do you think that that was predetermined?
They absolutely went with the person they thought would make for the better
Lacey
robot.
Lacey the robot would be very boring.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's like part of what makes the robot funny is the contrast of the robot with the soft spoken Sam with the accent. You know, she does it well.
By the way, Casey, I know it's only been two nights, but she's so boring already. I mean, she really needs to pick it up. She could also get a punishment. I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a robot.
Yeah, Casey would not be bringing that Sam robot realness. Okay, Danielle wants to know, when do you think House Guest will see JC as a threat? He excelled at the HOH comp, and he is not even being considered for Arena. Brent, have you been proud of JC? You were high on him in the preseason, and he has done very well through two nights.
Yeah, he's done well, and from what I can see, the language barrier, although we'll know more after tonight when the feeds come on, doesn't seem to be that big of an issue right now. You know, he speaks good English, but not perfect English, and so I did worry about that for him. I do feel good about JC. He's doing whatever he said in the preseason, which is to be the small, little person that everybody is totally not threatened by, who everybody loves, and that seemed to be true and holding for two nights of Big Brother, but I'm encouraged. I'm cautiously optimistic when the feeds come on tonight that may not be the case because he can be a little extra as well.
Yeah, half the Big Brother game is just being liked by everybody in the house, and he seems like an easy enough going personality, and seems like he's fun to have around there. You're so bored in that house. You know, JC is the life of the party, and so he may end up doing just fine in that house. Okay, here's a question about the live feeds from G Boo. Will the live feed morning updates be uploaded to YouTube to be watched if you can't catch them live? Hashtag RHAP, hashtag BB20. Hashtag Summer of Steve 2018.
Summer of Steve 2018.
Okay. All right. Taryn, of course, tomorrow is the first day of the Big Brother live feed updates. So many different ways people can be able to watch you every morning this summer.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully all of the ways that you're watching this podcast right now will hopefully be live on Twitch, on YouTube, and maybe Facebook. If that's
Facebook's
working.
A tricky one, but we're going to try to make that work as well. Hopefully you'll be able to watch it on my Periscope as well. Basically, if you're watching this podcast, we're going to put the live feed updates out through all the same channels that we put these shows out. Of course, the podcast version of that is available on our reality TV wrap-ups feed and our Big Brother podcast feed only. They are not in the Rob Has a Podcast main feed. So be aware of that. What time is the first live feed update tomorrow, Taryn?
10 a.m. Eastern.
10 a.m. Always, Eastern.
Always 10 a.m. Eastern. Same time every day for the rest of the summer.
Do you have and a guest who, booked?
Who is your guest for tomorrow, Taryn? I must know.
Oh, you don't know, Brent. It's actually going to be you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you make sure you set your alarm.
I wanted to build me up a little bit there.
Yes.
I will be the first guest for the live feed updates tomorrow, and I'm most excited about it. You know it's a big deal when I'm getting up in the morning. So that's basically when I do the live feed updates.
Okay.
Like the first day or something fun happens.
All right, here we are. Who knows what we will discover in just a couple of hours when the Big Brother live feeds kick off again. robiswebsite.com/livefeeds. Of course, you can watch Taryn every morning live and join in on the conversation. Just go to rhap.live to go to our new streaming page on the website. I'll put a link in the menu bar as well. rhap.live. is all you need to remember to watch the live shows every morning with Taryn. So check out the first one coming up. And then this Monday, I will be talking with this man, Eric Stein, on the first of our yet unnamed weekly conversations. Myself and Eric Stein, we will not be live. This will be a recorded audio only podcast, but send in your feedback questions every week to us, bigbrother@robhaswebsite.com, or you could leave us voicemail questions, robhaswebsite.com/voicemail, or call in our feedback show number 323-282-RHAP. We do that all the time during Survivor, and I think it would be very fun this summer on Big Brother to hear from you guys. robhaswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP for that. Okay. Of course, so much going on this summer. You can help us support all of this nonsense when you go to robiswebsite.com/patron to get even more involved with everything we're doing on Rob as a Podcast. Patron only shows as well. I'll be doing our Facebook Friday and so much more that goes on in the RHAP community. So if you're enjoying all of this, go ahead and check it out at robiswebsite.com/patron. Okay. So the stage is set for the live feeds to kick off tonight, Taryn. Are you on pins and needles?
Yes, I'm very excited. The first night of feeds is always one of the best nights. There's so much to learn, so much to figure out. Maybe I should go on Twitch and we can watch together.
Okay. Wow. This would be unprecedented.
Yeah. Just find me on Twitch, Taryn Armstrong. I might go live.
Okay. All right. Of course, follow Brent on Twitter as well. He is at @OneLuckyGate. Brent, will you be live tweeting the feeds tonight?
I will be live tweeting some. I don't like to live tweet a lot, especially when I'm going to be on a show, because I find that I just repeat myself for the people that follow me. By the way, I'm also covering the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race, which aired earlier tonight. I will not spoil the winner, but I'm very excited to talk about the finale with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris. We are going to tape that on Saturday afternoon, so look for that. And you can follow my Twitter Rob said, @OneLuckyGay, one spelled out, O-N-E.
Yeah. Also, thanks everybody that's commenting during the show. It's very hard for us to type and comment back, but I've got every single comment across the different platforms going across my screen as we're going along. I'm gonna give a shout out to thank you to Lance Davis, encouraging people to give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Very much appreciated. Thank you very much for that, Lance. Really appreciate everybody having fun with us and talking and writing in questions during the show. Helps make all of this very fun to broadcast all summer long with you. We will be back on Sunday night for the next edition of the podcast. Yeah, I am expecting it. You know, sometimes CBS has sports on a Sunday and ends up throwing the time off, but we are expected to go live around 9:15 p.m. Eastern time coming up on Sunday night. Anything else that we forgot to mention?
There is another spoiler tweet.
Oh, hold on. Hold up.
Very important.
Okay, hold on. Is it important enough? Should we do the just the buzzer? Do we need the song?
It's I'm kidding. It's not remotely important.
Oh. All right. Well, hold on. We have another. Let's talk spoilers. Okay.
All right. So Vegas for sure. They've got another bit of information for us. I'll quote here. It starts boob talk.
Boob talk.
Yes. So I know everyone's going to be very interested. Angela has shown and let the female house guests touch her boobs so they could feel what implants feel like. So that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Very fun.
And then second piece of information, Caitlin has been flashing JC and other house guests.
Big Brother live feeds. robhasawebsite.com/live feeds to get all of the action going on in the Big Brother house 24/7. on CBS All Access, 1 week free trial.
There you go. This is the kind of stuff that goes on in the first week that we never see, and now we're getting the information.
Yeah, I am very interested to see if they tell the house guests that they are alive, because a couple seasons ago they told them exactly when they came on, and I think the last two seasons they have not. They've just sort of turned them on and told them, you know, sometime tonight we're going live. So that's always fun to see. I like it when they don't tell them, because then you don't get like 4 hours of charades and performing for America. So
yeah, they told the celebrity. You don't like it when they're like, they do like a choreographed like performance.
No, it's terrible. On the other hand, they do know when to start talking to us. Like if I was in the house and we had a, you know, hey, you're on the live feeds in 5 minutes and you're on, and they told me that, I would play along with whatever people were doing, but then, you know, I'd run back to a camera as quick as possible and say, okay, this is what went down.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what you need to know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see what's going on. Last season, was it crazy when the feeds came? I feel like it was kind of subdued last season when the feeds came.
It was very subdued.
I think Paul, like, your boy, everybody calm down. We're not getting crazy. We're not doing that.
Josh was a little nuts, but all three couples were together at that point, and Christmas and Paul were up in the HOH room, and then, you know, we were watching Cody and Jessica.
I think Paul very quickly outlined his plan to get to the end, and then that was the season.
Yeah. He had friendship talk, I think, very early on. Okay. All right. Thank you guys for watching us here live. We love the feedback. Even when you listen to the podcast, we'd love to hear from you guys as well. If anything that you enjoyed during the night, we'll be back on Sunday, and check out Taryn on Friday morning, 10 Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, for the daily update. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.